And again, I want to invite you to take a trip with somebody. Amen. Beats going to Disney World, I guarantee it. And we'd love to have you come. I know Brother Sturts would love to have you come with them. And it'll change your life. It'll do something for you, I guarantee, if you've never been. Anybody been on a foreign missions trip? Several of you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, that is great. All right, Acts chapter 2 this morning. I just want to I want to use this passage of Scripture and look at some truths here out of this passage this morning to help us better understand why in the world we are doing what we're doing. Why couriers are printing the Scriptures, why people are giving their lives to go, why our brother's going to Ukraine. Why are we doing this? Why are we spending money and resources and so on to send Scriptures around the world? And I want us to look at a simple thought here this morning and trust to be a blessing to you. Acts chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Why don't you stand for a moment if you'd like to as we read verses 1 down through verse 13. And then we'll pray just a moment and we'll get into the Word. The Bible said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we're thankful for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this church and God, the people that are here today. And Lord, for this time they've set aside concerning this matter of missions. And God, we pray that you bless the week. Bless the word now as it goes forward. Please direct my thoughts and words. And may this be a help to all of us, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Acts chapter 2. There's a whole lot of things we could spend time talking about this morning, and I got 22 minutes, so we're just going to skip over a lot of things this morning. And I just want to get to the point of what I want to try to bring out today. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost was a day of tremendous miracles. Amen. There was at least 3,000 miracles. The Bible says toward the end of the chapter, there were 3,000 people saved and baptized that day. And every soul that's saved is an act of a miracle. It's a miraculous, supernatural work of God. No man can save himself. I can't save anyone else, and neither can you. So every person that's saved is saved by the power of God. So we see that miracle taking place on the day of Pentecost. The other miracle was this miracle that's called the gift of tongues. And that was a miracle. That was also a supernatural work of God in that day. Now, what I want us to look at this morning is a situation here that I would almost call a preacher's perfect scenario. I mean, this is the kind of thing you want to wake up to on a Sunday morning. Notice, first of all, the Bible said in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It's talking about the people of God. Amen. You can't say that this morning, right? You've already made the announcements. There's people not here for whatever reason. But every pastor dreams of the day when he comes to church on Sunday morning and everybody is in their place. Amen. I got a pastor friend that used to joke about it. He said, somebody'd ask him, well, how many of y'all running over there? And he'd say, oh, we're running about 500, but we're catching about 50. And that's the way it usually is in most places. Amen. But here's a wonderful situation. All the people of God, the disciples, were in the right place at the right time. Amen. That's always a blessing. Number two, the Bible said they were all in one accord in one place. That means they had a spirit of unity. The idea of one accord, they were of one mind. They were of one passion. They were of one person, worshiping the same Savior. Amen. I mean, perfect scenario. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the church was at their place when they ought to be, and everybody was in unity? Amen, including the pastor and his wife. Just making that statement. I pastor, so I know how it is sometimes. But isn't that a wonderful situation? So we find here another situation. They were in one accord in one place. Then the Bible said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Here we have not only all the people there, they're all in unity and one accord. And I think this is part of the reason that helped them stay that way for a good while. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. There's the person of power. Amen. There's the person of power. And now they are filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them to wait until that happened. He'd already made that clear. They were not to go on to the work of taking the gospel to all the world until they were filled with the Spirit of God. And so here's the people, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're filled with the power of God. What a wonderful thing. I wish I could say every day of my saved life since I got saved in 1971 that I have been filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had all the Holy Spirit since the day I got saved. I didn't get just an arm and a leg, and I got him all. Amen. But I can say honestly, I wish I didn't have to. He's not always had all of me. And I need to be and want to be filled with the Spirit of God. And there's the power, amen, that we need to do the work. So we find here another wonderful situation. Everybody's filled with the Spirit of God. They're not filled with himself. They're not filled with the world. They're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And then I want you to notice, not only did they have a perfect scenario as far as the place they were in and the purpose, they were all there and the power of the Holy Spirit, but they got the right message. When Peter stands up to preach, he's preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching the death, the burial, and the bodily resurrection. So they have the right message. Amen. They've got, how many of you agree, we're on track so far. Everything's perfect. That there was something missing. Something missing, and God supernaturally provided it that day. And that is, everyone heard these Galileans preaching in their own tongue. I think roughly 16 countries listed here. Those people came in from all over the world, the known world there, to go to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Pentecost. And so you've got, and it names the countries. This was not some unknown gibberish. These were foreign languages that could be interpreted by others. And by the way, that's what tongues is today still. It's a foreign language. Amen. But I find here, this was the missing ingredient, and God stepped in and provided that missing ingredient by giving the gift of tongues that day. Now, I believe the gift of tongues has ceased. I believe the Bible teaches that. I'm glad God gives people the ability to learn a foreign language. But for me to get up here in the next couple seconds and speak to you in Japanese, that would be a miracle. But I'm not praying for that to happen because it's not going to happen. Amen. But what we find here is God supernaturally provided people to be able to hear the message of the gospel, the word of God, in their own language. And the printing of the scriptures the printing works are printing, the shipping, the taking, the sending of the Word of God is so that people can have the Word of God in their own language. How many of you speak English here? How many of you are understanding my English this morning? How many of you have a perfect, preserved Word of God in the English language in your hand? How many of you got up this morning and thanked God for running water? I didn't. I was glad for it, but I didn't thank God for it. Now, I have thanked God for running water after my water's been frozen for 2 weeks and not had any, but I didn't get up and thank God for running water this morning because I never really thought about it. Because it's there. It was running last night when we went to bed, and I expected fully when I turned that on this morning it'd be running, and it was. Amen. Pastor pays his water bill, whatever. Thank God for that. I say that to say this, am I thankful for running water? Oh, yeah. But I don't think about being thankful for it very much because I have it all the time. Everywhere I go. Do you know, I'm afraid sometimes we think that way concerning the Word of God. We have the Word of God. It's easily accessible. Amen. We were sharing a story last night about a couple years ago. We were driving through the north central part of Washington State, and it's dark. It was really dark, and we're driving along. We're about 15 minutes from where we need to be that evening in Republic, Washington, and driving through a straight stretch, and all of a sudden I look, and there's something black across the road. And there were five black Angus cows, head to tail, stretched clear across both lanes of the highway. I hit my brakes immediately. It's what they call the free grazing, free range zone. I didn't know, I'd never been there. And I was abruptly stopped by an 1,800-pound steer that was in the middle of the highway. It stopped us dead stop. My wife was asleep. The airbag woke her up. We got out, and the van burnt to the ground right there on the spot. It just burnt. We grabbed her purse, computer bag, and maybe one other thing. Anyway, everything else burned up, and all the clothing and stuff we had, our Bibles burned up. Now, I said all that to say this. You don't need to feel sorry for me. God was great to us, and you can feel sorry for the cow if you want to. It don't matter. He's gone. Truth of the matter is, our Bibles were destroyed that night. I've got five or six more Bibles at home. My wife does too. We were a long way from home. But we could have found somewhere the next day to buy another Bible. We could have went to a thrift store and got one, probably for free. We could have got online that night before we went to bed, ordered a new one, and had it shipped overnight. Isn't that true? That's because the Bible is so accessible to us in this country. And if we're not careful, our thinking, we can think, you know, it's that way everywhere you go. Well, it's not that way everywhere you go. I read some statistics, and you know how statistics are. They vary depending on who you read after. But I read that there's roughly about 7,400 languages in the world, roughly, somewhere like that. About 750 some of those have been translated. The whole Bible has been translated in that language. That's roughly close to 10% of all the languages have a whole Bible. New Testament, about 1,700 roughly. They have New Testament in their language. Scripture portions, tracts, John and Romans, another 1,200 or so. That means about half of the world does not have any scripture. Tract, John and Romans, New Testament, or whole Bible in their own language. There's a tremendous need. So boy, we got a need of people translating the Bible. Yes, we do. But you know what that also means? That about half of the world, there are languages that half of the languages of the world are being printed in some form of the Word of God, whether it be a tract or all the way up the whole Bible. And so we do have half of the languages of the world to work with while the rest of them are getting translated. And that's what our print shops are doing. They're churning out the Word of God in multiple languages, and that's what we're shipping. Because that missionary on the field, he needs the Word of God in the language that he is working with. He needs it for mass distribution. We send John and Romans in tracts. Why? Because he needs to be sowing the seed. You know, when you support a missionary and send a missionary, you're sending at least a threefold guy. You're sending a farmer, first of all. You're sending him to the field. Well, what's he supposed to do when he gets to the field? He's to be sowing the seed so he can harvest a crop. Amen. He's not going to harvest the crop if he doesn't have the seed to sow. We're sending a soldier to the field. And that soldier is there to fight the enemy, to refute the lies of the devil and false religion and all those things. And he needs ammunition. You don't want to send a soldier to the battlefield without ammunition. And the Word of God is his ammunition. And then he needs, you're sending a teacher. You're sending someone there not only to preach the gospel, but to teach the truths of the Word of God. Once those people get saved, they need to be taught the Scripture. They need to be taught the doctrines of the Word of God so that they can grow and they can go on and evangelize their country. Amen. Now, in order for him to do that, those people need the Word of God in their own language. If you've ever been to a foreign trip, you may have sat in a church service where you walked in and the Spirit of God's in the spirit of the people, and you can have fellowship, not speak each other's language, but there is a fellowship there. I can't explain it, but there is a sweet fellowship. It's happened to me many times. And then you go in, they start singing the songs. You can't understand a word of the song, but you recognize the tune. And so you can enjoy the song service. And then the preaching starts. And they're preaching in Spanish, or they're preaching in Portuguese, or preaching in something else. And I do what every good Baptist does on a Sunday morning. It's time to take a nap. Because I'm not getting anything out of the preaching. Because they're not preaching in a language that I can hear and understand. And therefore, it's doing me no good. Is the Word of God quick and powerful? Yes. Can it do its job? Yes. Is he preaching the truth? Yes. Is he preaching in the power of the Spirit? Yes. But I can't get it in my language, so it's doing me absolutely no good. If you send a missionary to the field and he's learning the language, or he's learned the language verbally, and he's able to preach the gospel and teach the Word of God to the people he's ministering to in that language verbally, and he's holding up the Bible that he's preaching out of and he's giving it to them. You know, one of the first things I always encourage my people to do when I was pastoring is, when I got in the pulpit, please open your Bible too. And the reason for that is, I didn't want them to take my word for anything. I want them to see that what I'm saying lines up with the Word of God. And I'm able to do that because I've got it right there in my hands, in my language. And when he says, here's what the Bible says, I can read right along. And if he's reading out of another version, I can say, whoop, this guy's a mess. He didn't have any business up there. But can you imagine being a born-again Christian? You've gotten saved by hearing the gospel. That missionary's witnessed to you. He's led you to the Lord. Now his responsibility is to disciple you. And in doing that, he's going to give you scriptures that give you assurance of your salvation. He's going to give you scriptures explaining to you who the person of Jesus Christ is and what the death, the burial, and bodily resurrection, and the blood atonement, all those things mean. He's going to give you those scriptures, but you're sitting there with nothing in your hand. And he's got a Bible open in front of him. But you have no way of knowing yourself if what he's telling you is the Word of God. You have to trust what he's saying is true. And thank God for a missionary you can trust. But my friend, God wants every one of us to be able to see and hear the Word of God and be able to see it for ourselves. That's why he gives us the written Word of God. Now, if we send a missionary over there and he's doing the job, but he has no scripture for his own people in their own language, everything they're learning, they're having to take his word for it. That's how the Catholic system is built. Take my word for it. And it's good that he can give them the truth, but they need it. If they're going to grow, if they're going to have a devotion life for their own, they're going to need the Word of God. If they're going to be discipled and be effective, they're going to need the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed reading my Bible this morning. Amen. I just enjoy it. I want to hear the voice of God. The voice of God comes through the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible in your own language, you're not hearing the voice of God. You may hear the voice of a man talk about the voice of God. But if you're going to hear God, you've got to hear it from your Word. And it's got to be in a language that you can comprehend. If you're going to grow, comfort, direction, all these things come from what's our protection against the devil? The Word of God. How is our faith going to increase? The Word of God. How are we going to learn how we're to live and how we're to walk? What kind of conversation we're to have from the Word of God? I mean, we could go on and on and on. You're familiar with the Word of God. I think you understand what I'm saying this morning. We must get the Word of God to people in their own language. The missionary needs it in tracts in John and Romans so he can keep sowing the Word of God and just sow and sow and sow and sow and sow and sow. He needs the Word of God for his people so he can disciple them. Amen. Once they get the Word of God, once they get saved, first thing you tell a new disciple, watch, you want to make sure they got a Bible. If they don't have one, you give them one. Every born-again child of God deserves to have a Bible in their own language. And then for their own personal devotions. So when they get up in the morning, they can drink from that water, and they can eat of that bread, and they can have some of that meat. They can put some of that honey on that bread and enjoy that. They can get some light for the day, challenge for the day, comfort for the day, convictions for the day. But they got to have it in their own language. And that's why we've got to continue until Jesus comes, getting the Word of God out. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Pastor.